Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost will be taken from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read verses from chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. You can remain seated in honor of this text. We honor God whether we stand or sit. I pray we do. We're going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 41, continuing in Jesus' name. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many were rich that cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which maketh hardly. And he called unto him his disciples, and he said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they cast, they did cast in their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it's difficult to swallow. Sometimes, Father, we may feel it invades in our personal places where no one has any right. Father, we wouldn't even have a personal place if you didn't give us the person. We pray that you would strengthen us, that you would reveal truth to us, that we would not hear from the wisdom of men, but rather, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would be glorified. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. Amen. The last few weeks we've been talking about how to live in reality in the faith of God. It's probably not the best subjects because you could almost say it has kind of a life application style, and some of us don't like that and some of us do. So I don't know. How do you win a popularity contest? We're not trying to. I remember being in seminary and I remember going through the church calendar and there was a certain part of text that you just didn't want to preach, but the seminary always made you preach these texts because they had a good understanding that we would only preach otherwise what we were comfortable with. And I remember that I came to a certain part of Scripture one time, being a pastor in a smaller congregation, and I came to an area where it talked about divorce. And I was pretty much told that maybe I should leave that alone. So I was gonna. But I couldn't. And I was called on the carpet by somebody on that, which is fine. I love it when someone actually confronts you personally, not go through all the other grapevines. And they thought I was very harsh towards people that were divorced. I took that sensitively. 90% of my family is divorced. And I love my family. And when we sat down and listened to the message together and we went through it, they realized that maybe I wasn't as harsh as they thought. Maybe they had more of a struggle with it too. See, sometimes there are subjects that are difficult for us to deal with. And lately I've been going down this road of we are, as Christians, called to do certain things. We went through the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, and we talked everything from almsgiving, giving offerings, prayer, fasting. And really, Jesus kind of brings us all into a summation of saying, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else will be added to you. You cannot serve mammon and God. He brings us out very strongly. The essence of what we were getting to, more or less, and it's a very uncomfortable situation to go into, is really, what are we to do for God? And where does God have claim to our lives? He has claim, obviously, to our salvation. Thanks be to God, salvation is His, right? He has has claim in reality to our spiritual life to guide us and to lead us. He has claim, if we could say it, in our church. What about our money? That's a tough one, isn't it? Especially, and I'm going to pick on the Finlanders because I'm a Finlander. You could do a lot of things, but don't come between a Finlander and their wallet. I think it can be with all ethnic groups, no doubt about it. But we do have a sensitivity to it. Then we also come back and we start panicking because we come to the realization that if someone in the church talked about money, that means the church wants my money. And we know how that goes. We don't like that either. It's a very, very sensitive subject. So that's why we're preaching this message after we took collection. But it is a sensitive subject. But see, Luther spoke about this quite often, and he would talk more in the fashion of that we can use our unrighteous mammon righteously in this world. That we can use our mammon, our earthly good, to bring honor and glory to God. But we have a hard time with that sometimes. I remember talking with an individual, and he was telling me about someone that did quite well in their life. And they made a comment that, well, I cannot tithe 10% of my income to the church, because if I did, nobody else would have to give. That's kind of a, we can understand that statement. If he made so much, then the rest of the church probably wouldn't have to tithe. Well, there's two shames in that. One is that the individual couldn't trust God to deal with that. And second is if the rest of the congregation actually felt that way. That we don't have to give because others are. When you talk about the understanding of tithing, it is very much brought up in the Old Testament of giving one-tenth of everything before you do anything with it. That's tough, isn't it? I have a struggle with that. So I want to, even for a moment, I don't think we should, but I want to remove, the 10% deal, so we don't have to think about that. But how many of us understand there's a difference between tithing and offerings? It's kind of misleading because our envelopes even say offerings. A tithe is what's required to go directly to the direct church that you serve in. That should be a key word, serve. An offering is something that actually you have more liberty of in the Old Testament to be able to give to different places or give them above and beyond what the tithe is called for. See, Jesse has had this problem in his past, and studying this subject, I'm starting to realize that I've been wrong. Because I could easily come down to an aspect of saying, you know what, I personally do a lot for the church, and I help different people, and when someone needs something, I might slip them something, or I might do this, or I might do that, and that I consider part of my tithe. Actually, no. I'm wrong. I'll leave you to your own conscience on that. I am called, in reality, to support this congregation that I am called to. Very sensitive subject, isn't it? And I've often thought that everything else I do is counted towards that. The reason for this subject, I'll be 100% honest with you, a lot of our elders in the past, throughout the generations, knew the importance of tithing. They knew the understanding of tithing. That it was for the furtherment of the kingdom. It was for the betterment of the church. It was for the function of the church. I think some of us younger people have forgotten that. And I wonder if we are missing something. Because we're actually missing the opportunity. The opportunity to watch God work. The opportunity, as he even spoke to us in the Old Testament about seeing his floodgates opened. We don't do these things to get. We do these things in reality because we have gotten. You couldn't give it if you didn't have it. That, to me, is amazing. We miss an opportunity. Do you know there's blessings? There's blessings in giving. There's blessings in reality in watching your church flourish. There's blessings in seeing the ability for us to have outreach in different areas and strengths in different areas. There's blessings in reality of watching us do so much more, not for us, but in reality for God. He says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And I have to ask myself at times, Jesse, is your heart in the church? Is your heart in reaching others? Is your heart in supporting what needs to be supported? We're missing opportunity. We miss the ability to give, to pray, to fast, to encourage when we do not follow what the Scripture calls us for. It's a tough subject. When you speak about money, it gets to be a quiet room. That doggone pastor, he's looking for another raise. No, I'm not. I'm not. But I am looking for you and me to have the opportunity to feel the blessings of God. We would not be able to give if he didn't give to us. Jesus, he pays attention to what's going on. And it's an interesting thing. We may not think he does. We may not think that he really pays attention. And I know I'm being a little cynical here, but really think about it. Have you ever thought of this? He's in the temple. He's in the temple and he's over against the side wall watching the people enter in. And what is he watching? He's watching the people give their offering. You think God actually cares? But he's watching this. And when he's watching it, he's actually kind of in awe because this widow, she has nobody. She enters into the temple, she comes along, and she takes out basically 2 pennies. 2 pennies, which to us is insignificant. To me, it's insignificant. To most people in that room, she probably wasn't pulling her own weight. But he's watching her. She enters in, and she takes these 2 mites, these 2 pennies, and she drops them into the collection. And he turns and he actually makes a point of this. He calls his followers, he calls the disciples over. And he says, hey, come check this out. So they all come over and he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Now this is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm going to tell you something that's a true statement. He says, this poor widow, this one with nothing has cast more in than the guy ahead of her. Is that what he said? No. He says, she has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. He says, this widow that came in with just these 2 mites, and she put them in there. If I could say Jesus was in awe, I don't know. I can't speak for him. Seems like this is an awe moment. That she put all, more than they did. See, pastor's talking about money, and money's a bad subject. We don't like to talk about money. We don't want to hear about money in the churches, you know, and this and that. I've never done this in my, ever. But I feel we're missing opportunity. I've been preaching for 14 years and I've never had a message on giving money. And it's not about the money. It's about understanding where it comes from. I stand up as a proud individual and I say, I worked for what I have. I've earned what I have. Who has even given the ability to do this work? Who has given us the talents to be able to produce what we do produce? Who has given us the ability to enter into this world that owes us nothing and give us the ability to come out of it with something even tangible? God the Father. The very gifts that we offer. See, when we stand here and I pray, Heavenly Father, please allow this offering to bring you honor and glory. Allow these gifts to be used for the furtherance of the kingdom. It's not that He has need of us. It's that we understand what He has done for us. And we would love for the opportunity for someone else to experience this. And that by experiencing this, they may also contribute for the furtherance of the kingdom. It's not about the monetary value. It's about the faith and reality behind the giving of the gift. He says, this woman, she has given more than each and every one of them that have come through. And I think you could even combine this, all of them put together. Not about the value. It's about the understanding behind it. It's about the faith. She cast in more than all of them. And He gives the reason why. He says, for all of them, each and every one of them, individually, corporately, I'm adding that in there, they cast of their abundance. Have you ever thought about that? We will give God what we have left over. Did you read the Old Testament reading that each cattle that went under the rod, anything of the first crop, to be given to the Father for His kingdom? But how many times has Jesse, and I've done it a million and one, I've given what was left over. He says, this woman has given everything. He says, they all cast of their abundance. He says, and here's the difference. It's not monetary. It's not the value of the coins. She gave everything she had. She trusted. I want you to think about that for a moment. I know it's difficult for us and a monetary value is hard for us to deal with, but let's just say for a moment that you actually, and I want you to think about this, and I'm not asking you to do this, and I'm not trying to become a communal living kind of guy, but seriously, tonight go home on your computer and empty everything. Give it all up. Pick a vangel. Don't get in here if you don't want to. And literally, go online, do whatever you got to do, and empty everything out of every account and give it. That's what she did. It was the faith that was behind the gift. But do we in reality also mimic not the monetary value even, but the faith? Or are we, how do you say this without insulting people? Are we worried that they're going to get too much? Are we worried that they're not going to handle it right? Well, if you're worried about that, then get involved with the boards. Get involved with the church. But can you imagine for a moment someone literally doing this and actually taking and walking in, and you could say, well, you know, she didn't have much to begin with. That's right! She didn't. And to me, that is even all the more awe-inspiring because though she had nothing, she was willing to give up what little she did have because she trusted something above and beyond that. That God would be glorified. Let me ask you a question. Was God glorified? Here we are 2,000 some odd years later. speaking about a widow that came to church one Sunday with nothing but two pennies. And Jesus speaks so highly of her. What have we dedicated ourselves to? I think it's kind of an interesting thing because we see this a lot, say, within the workings of the church. That we can't afford this, we can't afford that. But, you know, Jesse, he has $100 every month cell phone bill. Doesn't think twice about it. We have dish bills. We have serious bills, serious radio bills. We have, I go out to eat 4 times a week. I don't need to pick on you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. But it has come to my heart, it has come to conviction that how do I also honor God with the gifts that He has given me? And do I put strings attached? What do I do? Isn't that what He opened up with earlier in Matthew? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Is this message offensive? Probably. Why? Because we're so tied to these carnal things. But the reality of it is, we are called to enter into this world and to bring a powerful message of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are not talking about a works righteousness. We are talking because we have received, we can give. I remember years ago, Brother Gary gave me a writing about, and I've talked about this before, but it makes me think. He gave me a writing about the sins that were accounted to us, and this man saw filing cabinets full. But then there was also this one that said, paid by the blood of Christ. The cabinets were empty. What would our life speak if we looked at our checkbook register? What was first and foremost? It's just kind of an interesting thing. Are we afraid of trusting God? Let's use a number. But 10%. Maybe I am. But maybe, just maybe, I could take a lesson from this widow woman that didn't give 10%. She gave 100%. And that's what this message speaks to me. See, God doesn't want 10% of our life. He doesn't want 10% of our finances. He doesn't want to control 10% of our marriage. He doesn't want to raise 10% of our children. He wants all of it. Are we willing to be as this widow woman, to enter into the house of God and say, my life is yours. My life is yours. Can we use what means that we have, not only to support the congregation that we belong to, but can we also then look past the tithe and enter into actually even a greater area of offering? And turn and look in this world and see where there's hurting, see where there's this and that, and not just expect our government to take care of the issues. But can we, in all honesty, turn around and say, Lord, what I have, may you use. Give me direction, give me guidance, give me whatever, but allow me to bring honor and glory to you with the unrighteous mammon of my life. May it be used righteously. I know this message is not good. It's hard. I know that pastor is just asking for more money. I didn't. He did. We like to spiritualize stuff in our churches. We like to blame God for everything. But as unpopular as it may be, it was His scripture that said, will you rob me? And really, the question I have for Jesse, am I robbing myself of the opportunity to see God work? That's really an interesting one. I'm not preaching this message because we're hurting. I'm not preaching this message because we want to build a new thing. I'm not preaching this message for any other reason in reality except for it's been laid on my heart that we are not seizing the opportunity to see God truly work when we dictate to Him how much we'll give. We'll cut a check to Verizon for $300 a month and think nothing of it. And if you can only give 2 pennies, it seems to me, according to the Scripture, that's awesome. That's awesome. But are we giving from the heart? Are we giving in faith? And are we giving in reality so that God will be glorified? Remember how we opened all of these messages. What is the motivation? Why do we do what we're called to do? And we are called. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.